Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening for Lehigh Valley Discourse. And tonight we're going to be talking about something that's very important to our community in many, many aspects. And that's United Way. United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. Started in 1918 as the Bethlehem Worcester Association. It's one of 1,800 United Ways across the world, actually. I was thinking it was just the U.S., but it's global. United Way partners include global, national, local businesses, nonprofits, civic and faith organizations, as well as educators, labor, health organizations, government, and more. And tonight we have two special people from the United Way with us, David Lewis, who is president of our Greater Lehigh Valley chapter, and Mark Riddle, who is vice president and has a focus on impact that you're going to be hearing a lot about in this show. Welcome, David. Welcome, Mark.
Good evening.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you for being available to have this show. Before we get into what's happening today and what the future is going to be, let's talk a little bit about the history you guys have been digging up about the 100 years of United Way in the Lehigh Valley. David, let me start with you. What have you been discovering about the history?
Well, let me start with it was about 130 years ago in 1887 that United Way started in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, it sounds like the beginning of, you know, some kind of joke where, you know, a priest, a pastor and a rabbi got together, but that's literally how it started.
Wow.
It was faith-based leaders in Denver that said we needed a coordinated effort to help with the need in Denver, Colorado. And from that, United Way was started. So here, as you said, it was started as the Bethlehem War Chest on April 18th, 1918. So, and quickly became Community Chest, which a lot of people know
right.
from, you know, the Monopoly Board, you know, Community Chest. So there's that. And then from there, I think Easton was the next to spring up. And then Allentown sprung up. And then there was, over the course of time, some mergers. At one point, we even had... I think Warren County, New Jersey was part of us, and then they went off on their own. So it's been quite a history. But the one thing that's been, you know, really, really worked over the years is just the support of the communities wherever we are. To date, we know that there's been $310 million contributed to the Lehigh Valley through United Way. So that's pretty awesome.
That's an amazing figure. That's wonderful for all the nonprofits that and the community.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, history comes in a lot of packages, and you have 30 years history, David, with United Way, correct?
I do, yeah. I actually started when I was in graduate school at Rutgers University 30 years ago. I was getting my MSW, and I had an internship at United Way in Camden County, New Jersey. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. I was there in South Jersey for about 6 years, spent a couple years in Philadelphia, spent many years in Lancaster before coming here to the Lehigh Valley 6 years ago. And God willing, and if the board will have me, this is it. This is where
You're
I want to be.
Stay.
Yeah, this is where I want to be. I love it here.
Terrific. And Mark, you have a pretty long history, too, with United Way, correct?
Yeah, I've been with United Way for 10 years at two different United Ways, and a little bit the same. I was in a PhD program, and I was teaching adjunct sociology in Chicago, Illinois. And so through an assistantship and a fellowship, I joined as a research and data person at the United Way of Metro Chicago. 6 months in, they hired me on. So, and that was 10 years ago, and so now I'm leading impact work still.
And you got out of the Windy City and into lesser winter.
I did. I married into the Lehigh Valley. Shout out to my wife, Sarah Andrew, from Fountain Hill. And I moved, got familiar with the Lehigh Valley, I would say about 15 years ago.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. Well, for any students that are listening, obviously those internships are pretty important, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think this summer we had a dozen. So, yeah, we're definitely continuing to bring in interns. I mean, they're great help to us, and they get great experience.
And we're looking for fall, winter, and spring interns in Impact.
Not that we're plugging.
All right. Well, there's opportunities here, folks. And as we talk about the overall history for 100 years, and I love the story about the rabbi, the priest, and the minister. That's really pretty classic. Have you picked up any other additional sort of tidbits about this Lehigh Valley as you sort of unearthed some of the files and folders regarding how it started, how it came about? Because I do know it was one of the first organizations to pull together the Lehigh Valley as the Lehigh Valley.
That's right. Yeah, well, of course, it's been great fun looking at old photographs, but I'm not sure, you know, that's what you mean. But yeah, there's some classic old photographs, but that's exactly right. I mean, it was really the beginning of the Lehigh Valley becoming one organization. So we were integral in the part of that. And actually, I think it was Bethlehem Steel that one of the former leaders of Bethlehem Steel that really pushed that.
Promoted that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so hard for some people to understand that, you know, we're really not that big. You know, Allentown, Bethlehem East and surrounding areas, you know, we are a community of about 700,000. So that's a nice size to have, but it's not overly big. So the Lehigh Valley is a good size.
It is. And I do want to say, just because we're mentioning the area, that we do have Carbon County now as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Okay.
So we do have Carbon County now, Palmerton. And yep.
Okay. Terrific. Terrific. Now, part of United Way and the giving that you mentioned is the solicitation that comes through donations, through individuals, through employees, through corporations, et cetera. We've had a lot of population shift changes here, especially in the employment community in the Lehigh Valley the last 10 years or so. How has this impacted your direction, your philosophy? We've gone from large manufacturing. I remember standing up in front of like 100 people talking about this, and now we have small shops. How has that affected what you do and how you do it?
Yeah, well, the workplace has absolutely changed, but surprisingly, I mean, really most of our contributions still come through the workplace. It's about 70%. It's really the best way to still meet people, but instead of going to, maybe 100 different companies that are larger in scope, I mean, we're now into nearly 600 different companies where we're running workplace campaigns. So it has. And, you know, it used to be when United Way's had their campaign, they'd come in and do the, as you're referring to, you know, kind of the United
Way
talk and the dog and pony show. That lasted typically about an hour. Now they say, okay, you have 7 minutes. So we've really had to condense our messaging to be able to reach, you know, current needs of the workplace. People just, that's just the reality of today. But people still, payroll deduction through the workplace is still where most of the money comes from.
Okay, terrific. Well, then you're reaching out to a lot of the smaller businesses. I remember being a part of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber and the Small Business Council. And one of our roles at that point was to try and get to the smaller businesses, because that had not been on the radar screen of United Way initially. And so now it looks like you're getting into that community as well.
Absolutely. And it has led. I mean, I shouldn't say that it's not, you know, shifted it. I mean, it's shifted quite a bit, but still workplace focus. I mean, at this point, we have 210 members of what we call our Alexis de Tocqueville Society. So that's a group of donors that give $10,000 or more. So that actually is becoming, you know, a bigger and bigger piece, but many of them still come through the workplace.
Wow.
So of our 18,000 donors, yeah, we have about 210 give over $10,000 annually.
That's incredible. I remember when it was a much smaller number in that society. So that's terrific. Congratulations to you guys. That's wonderful.
That's very exciting.
Well, it's great volunteer leadership. Mm-hmm. I should say, when you say, you know, what are we doing? I mean, I really want to point out that this is a staff and volunteer joint effort. I mean, we're really talking about our board of directors, our campaign cabinet. I mean, they have great leadership. So that's really important.
Yeah, well, it is a volunteer effort. And we're going to talk about some of those volunteer programs that you pull in, some folks that may not be volunteers all the time, but periodically will give time. But before we get to that, one of the things that I, David, I mentioned to you before the show was that sometimes people are still stuck a little bit in the old philosophy of what United Way's program was and how it offered support to nonprofits and community organizations. It has changed a little bit, but according to our conversation, not that much. There's still opportunities for everyone to be considered.
That's right. Well, we've definitely focused our efforts. I mean, United Way used to be described as a mile wide and an inch deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I remember those sessions.
Yeah, we used to just, you know, allocate money. It was kind of the shotgun approach, if you will. And we've gotten a lot more focused on education, older adults, food access, and emergency services. I think Mark's going to talk about that in some detail. But what we've been able to do is really, you know, find the intersection for our donors of, you know, where their philanthropic desires are and the impact that we're having. So we find that by getting to the root causes and really, you know, focusing our efforts in those areas, we're really able to have a much greater impact, which is why we've been successful and why we've been able to raise that $310 million over the years.
Yeah. Is this something that the United Way in general is their philosophy? Did we
absolutely.
Of start that?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. And with both David and I have been being at multiple United Ways, I mean, going back to about the late 90s, I think some strategic planning shifts happened where we look at the community, we assess the community, look at what the needs are, and then locally really identify what we need to dig deep into. And the good news is that we still are a major funding source for many nonprofits across the Lehigh Valley. So that hasn't changed since the 90s or, you know, even before that, the last 100 years. And the even better news is that whether or not dollars are flowing or exchanged, United Way is part of that community solution and community conversation. So if we're going to transform the Lehigh Valley for students, for older adults, for people who are without nutritious food, in the case of our United Way, we do that with other partners that know exactly what to do in those situations.
Okay.
So we now have multiple Lehigh Valley coalitions working towards community solutions.
Okay, we're going to get into some of those a little bit more deeply.
Great.
But one of the things I want to stress here, if someone doesn't necessarily think that their organization is related to the core, four core areas that we're going to be talking about, there's still opportunity to be considered, correct?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I would just direct them to our website, look at our strategies, look at our focus areas. I was mentioning, I mean, I get calls just because I'm, you know, the president,
who you are,
because of, you know, president of United Way, you know, can you fund this? Can you fund that? And I just direct folks to the website. And I mean, it's all there right on our website. And you know, they will be considered.
Okay. And the website address is UnitedWayGLV.org?
That's correct. That's
correct.
Okay, so if anybody's interested in just learning more about that. And when you say the requests are given to a group, is there a group of board people, community people, a committee? How does that get decided?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have
all of the above.
In any given year, definitely 60 to 70 volunteers on various committees and also volunteer reviewers who will take a look at applications as they come in or just be a part of the coalitions that we're a part of. So it really is a community-driven process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's terrific. Well, listen, let's get into this a little bit about these four core areas. And Mark, I know you're the expert. Impact is your area of expertise.
Absolutely.
And David, you mentioned education, food access, healthy aging, and emergency services. Let's talk about how you arrived at those. There was a community assessment, but then tell us more.
Sure. So we are always assessing the community, sort of keeping our ear to the ground in terms of what's happening. We speak with community partners. Obviously, we review secondary data, so that's the United States Census, you know, places where anybody could find public information. But then we really talk with actual, you know, partners in the community doing the work. So if we speak with, for example, New Bethany Ministries, what's happening? How many people are coming through your hospitality center? What are the prevalent issues? And then speak with other housing and shelter organizations. We speak with, you know, Meals on Wheels is another partner that we've had for a very long time. What's happening with seniors in the community? Can you tell us, you know, what's the most up-to-date current information? Our goal is to marry that well-informed community assessment with also what we know our donor community would be interested in supporting, right? So food access is a great example. We've always supported education, and our community has always wanted to support education. Most recently in 2013, we layered over our work a new goal, and it was food insecurity. And we were running data, we were talking with some of our partners, and many of our donors, and which includes board members, right, really said, this is a critical issue. We really should be doing more than we are doing now to pull the community together around food insecurity. So I bring that as an example of something that we were not addressing in the way that we're addressing now, we were not addressing in the 90s and before. So in that way, we sort of find the best way to create our goals.
Food insecurity. Define security. What does that cover?
Yeah, so to get into the issues a little bit, food insecurity is defined as having access to food, mm-hmm. regular access to food. Okay. So regular is every season during the year, every day during the week, all three meals, or you know, maybe two meals, but you have regular access, not just the weekdays, but the weekends. Mm-hmm. And also that food is nutritious. So it's regular access to nutritious food. So you can eat at McDonald's all of the time because it's affordable, right? But that is not nutritious food all of the time. Depends on what you get.
What your selection is, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But if it's hamburgers, you're not eating nutritious food. And so just because it's affordable and accessible doesn't also mean that it's nutritious. So that person who is always eating McDonald's might end up with, and I use McDonald's, but it could be any fast food place, but prevalence of diabetes, other chronic disease issues, obesity is a big one in many communities right now. So our goal is to reduce those indicators of chronic disease and to be able to have a more nutritious and healthy Lehigh Valley as well.
Okay.
So it's access to the food, but also nutritious food.
And the security aspect is just being secure that it's always there for you.
Yes.
Basically.
It's pretty astonishing. I don't want to cut you off, but I know the number that always... You know, when you talk to donors, when you talk to the board, I think what's convinced everyone is when they heard that the number of individuals in the Lehigh Valley that are food insecure could fill Coca-Cola Park, where the Iron Pigs play, seven times. So it's about 70,000 people are food insecure. 2 years ago when we got started, 4 years ago when we got started in this work, and 2 years in earnest when a couple of our programs really kicked in, that number was 80,000. Yep. So we're already seeing results, which is terrific. But it surprises a lot of people to think about 70,000 people right here in the valley that are food insecure.
That's greater than 10% of our population right now.
That's correct. It's about 11%.
And that includes children through elderly, correct?
It sure does.
Yeah. That's incredible. You're right. I would not have thought that for the Lehigh Valley.
You know, Hurricane Harvey's on a few people's minds today.
Yep.
And it was interesting when Sandy happened here a few years ago. It was one of the first calls that we got from students who said, when is school going to start again? And I actually paused when I got one of those calls because I'm thinking, when there was a snow day or when school was out, I used to do the happy dance,
right.
You know, and I'm thinking, hooray, no school, I can go play. But actually food was the only place that they were getting, school was the only place that they were getting three meals a day. And they needed school to start back so that they could get the food that they needed.
Okay. Listeners, stay tuned because you're going to hear more about impact in the core programs of the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. We'll talk more with our guests, David Lewis, President, and Mark Riddle, Vice President of the United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley, after this short break. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Celtic Fair. Celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, talking with David Lewis, who is president of United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley, and Mark Riddle, who is vice president of the United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley. Before our break, we were talking about some of the core programs, and Mark happens to be charged with the Impact Program, which is about these four core areas that United Way has assessed that the Lehigh Valley needs to focus on. And in addition to assessing and funding and research, there's also some accountabilities, correct?
Sure.
The overall program is, this is much different than United Way of years past from that aspect.
True. I mean, measuring and tracking results, I think, is very important, and ensuring that you have partners that are participating in such a way that we are, you know, getting to the results that we need. So that would equal accountability. And I also just want to maybe back up just a bit to talk about why we're doing this. How did we choose these four all together? So we talked about the process and how both community residents and donors were involved in the creation of goals, but why these four? And you know, at United Way, our belief is that all residents should, you know, live a good life, and then we need to define that. So what does a good life mean? Our ultimate goal really is that residents are leading a healthy and productive life in all ways. So why do we focus in education? Our focus happens to be third grade, because we believe if you start from birth up through third grade, the early years, that we know that you will be successful in school as you then go through middle school and ultimately graduate. We know that on-time graduation is important, but then what happens after that, right? And we know that food insecurity is necessary throughout this entire life cycle. What happens after graduation is that you want to find a good job locally, right? You want to, you know, you further your education, but then you also find a good place to also increase the economy overall in the Lehigh Valley. So your own personal success also means success for the entire valley. Obviously, then as you age, that closes the life cycle for us, because we focus on seniors as well. But I just wanted to have this mentioned in terms of all residents leading a healthy and productive life as to why we even do this work in the beginning.
Okay. And listeners, again, the assessment is that the four core areas are education, food access, healthy aging, emergency services. So we talked a little bit about food access. You mentioned a little bit about education, but let's go into the community school program that you're very much a part of and supporting and bringing to life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we believe that one path out of poverty is education. Probably, possibly a single path out of poverty could be education. So to improve the high school graduation rate, as I mentioned, research tells us that there's key indicators. This goes to the accountability, right? So what are those key indicators that we're looking at to focus on? And we know that that includes, you know, babies born healthy, that you have access to preschool, pre-K in some fashion, that we also are ready for school. So we have a measure tracking kindergarten readiness. And then third grade reading, we know that eighth grade reading is important, and also eighth grade math, especially by the time you get to middle school, math enters as a checkpoint. And so these checkpoints along a child's education pathway are very critical. So we partner with especially the three major school districts, and we have a few other school district partners as well, districts like Parkland as well, also committed to the same goals. We're actually finding there are 17 school districts across the Lehigh Valley, and more we're seeing focus on things like all-day kindergarten, right? So if you're going to be ready for school and using kindergarten as a measure, full-day kindergarten is the best way to get there. We're seeing more and more school districts making that a priority. We're also seeing more school districts focusing on third grade reading. So Bethlehem has now announced that their goal is that all of their students will be reading by third grade proficiently by 2020. So that's a goal that aligns with our community goal. We're seeing more school districts coming into the fold in this way as well. So it's not just the big three urban suburban districts, but then it kind of feeds out from there as well. There's also dozens of nonprofit partners. There's communities in schools. So you mentioned our community school model. I'll just mention community schools is a strategy used by different communities across the nation, especially in the Lehigh Valley, I would say 9 or 10 years ago, that we started. It's a way of addressing the social needs of a family holistically from the school in. So if you think about students in school and what it takes to be successful inside of a school, the things that they need to be successful is not just simply tutoring, right? Sometimes it's you can't make it to school because possibly you're an older sibling and you're caring for a younger sibling because your parents are working. So you're late for school or you can't make it because maybe your younger sibling is sick that day. So just to sort of craft a couple of examples of where we might need some nonprofit organizations to step in and provide assistance for families to ensure, you know, is there caregiver support that we can provide? Is this a way where we can provide affordable childcare so that if younger siblings are sick, the older siblings can actually attend school? Mm-hmm. It's solutions like this that are coordinated through a central coordination point inside of a community school. So that's what community schools do, is they address the needs of that immediate community surrounding each school.
So you have I think one of the great examples is when I'm I volunteer a lot at Dunnigan. It's the closest to my home. So I'll go to Dunnigan Elementary, and I know the last time that I was there, they said there were over 45 different organizations that help support the efforts of the teachers. So, you know, everywhere from healthcare, again, to food, to after school programs, to programs before school starts. But I think it's, you know, from the local guy who's teaching karate or taekwondo or whatever, whatever that is, to a local barber who wants to pitch in. So it's more than just the traditional nonprofits. You might think of Boys and Girls Club, and, you know, you could name many others, but the coordinator brings all resources at Dunnigan. Lehigh University happens to be very, very involved.
Very supportive,
They're extremely supportive. So I think, you know, that's, you know, part of what you were saying, you know, what's different about our approach. We're looking beyond our traditional partners to other partnerships and really convening everything we need for the success of the kids. But I've had, you know, donors say to me, so what exactly is your role? You're not in the room teaching. We're doing everything we can to give those students and those families all the support that they need so that when they are in the classroom, they're really able to learn.
Okay. And does the support go outside of the walls of the school into
Absolutely.
Homes, neighborhood?
Oh, well, and some of these services happen inside of community centers. So to stick with the example of Dunnigan, just down the street from Dunnigan is the Hispanic Center. Mm-hmm. And so they partner with Lehigh University and frankly with St. Luke's Health Network too. So mm-hmm. you're going to talk about maybe non-traditional partners. Mm-hmm. We have health networks, we have universities, and then we have those community organizations. Right. And you do not necessarily have to have programs happening inside of the school to be participating in the community school model. You can be outside of the school in a community organization. That's a great question and a good point.
I recall maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, Promise Neighborhoods was on the show here, and they were talking about getting started. And if I recall correctly, United Way is working with Promise Neighborhoods as well, correct? And that goes into the home sometimes as far as helping the parents?
Correct. So Promise Neighborhoods of the Lehigh Valley, if we talk about community schools as being from starting inside of the school and working out as mm-hmm. students have needs and families have needs, Promise Neighborhoods start in a neighborhood and work in.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now, primarily our Promise Neighborhoods, which is now its own organization, started by United Way a few years back, is this year in Allentown. So they're working in Center City, Allentown, especially if you think about that outer rung, both in the NIS, but also out. So when I say the NIS, I mean the hockey arena and the zone.
All the rehab that's
correct. So as business comes into Allentown, what is happening in the residences surrounding mm-hmm. that community? Mm-hmm. 3 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, ultimately the high schools. What's happening in that area? And the Promise Neighborhoods have a way of looking at the full neighborhood.
Full neighborhood.
Yeah, and they work hand in hand with our other partner. David mentioned 50-some partners. I mean, all of them work together. We know each other, that we work with the schools.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some of these other areas. We've talked about education, talked a little bit about food access, healthy aging. Wow. Let's talk about that, Mark. What does that mean?
Yes.
What are the programs there?
So I would say for the last decade and probably longer, Pennsylvania has been in the top 5 in terms of having the oldest population. In the U.S. So we have a significantly higher senior population here. And we know that keeping people healthy and in their homes, so wherever you call home, so you as a senior, wherever you want to live, you should be able to live. And so at United Way, we want to make sure that there's community partners that can help you be able to do that. Sometimes Meals on Wheels is enough. So Meals on Wheels, provides prepared meals into your homes, delivered by volunteers. Sometimes that is the barrier. So if you can't prepare a meal in your home, this is gets into the food access issue. You can't eat two or three times a day, 7 days a week. So in some cases, Meals on Wheels is the one thing that you need to be able to stay in your home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's other interventions as well. So grocery shopping comes to mind. We have a few other partners, Share Care, Faith in Action.
Talk about Gatekeepers. I think Gatekeepers is really a unique program that is really having an impact. Just mention a little bit about Gatekeepers.
Yeah, a few years back, we decided to find a way, and we found some other communities in other parts of the country doing this. Gatekeepers is a way to identify seniors who need this assistance. So those programs and interventions that I mentioned, how can you even find those seniors in the first place? Mm-hmm. So we started thinking about who would seniors see on a regular basis? If it's not a son or a daughter or a family member, who else would they see? And these thoughts came to mind. Grocery shop clerks, the post, the mailman, the post person. Mm-hmm. And we actually partnered with UGI and a couple of the other utilities, people who enter homes.
Or at least are near the home on a regular basis.
Near the home on a regular basis. You can talk about different workers that are just literally up at maintenance workers sometimes as well. Barbershops, actually, we also did talk about them. And we actually started doing trainings. And we found a partner in the Lehigh Valley Catholic Charities has been doing what is called Gatekeepers Trainings. Mm. They did 2,000 trainings 2 years ago across the Lehigh Valley, and we have, 150 trainings for 2,000 people who now are skilled and literally certified to be able to identify a senior who might be isolated in their home. So you work at the local grocery store, you can identify the signs mm-hmm. of a senior who it seems like they might need assistance and they might not have anybody with them. Maybe there's a couple of key questions you can ask through regular conversation. And with a completely anonymous system, you call a phone number, which does lead you back to Catholic Charities, who then is skilled at providing case management services for those seniors as well. So it's a great example of a program that we've used to identify what seniors need attention.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a wonderful program. And you have the right key people, mm-hmm. you know, who are passing by, dropping mail or whatever.
That's right.
On a regular basis. Take advantage of it. That's wonderful. Now, emergency services. Now, emergency services, I know in the past we had Hurricane Sandy hit us and more recently Hurricane Harvey down in Texas. Locally, do we work on emergency services? Nationally, do you participate in emergency services? How does that work?
Well, I just want to kick off and say that our thoughts are really with the folks in Houston today. Mm. Last night, I talked again to Peter, who's the head of our local Red Cross, and we're coordinating efforts. We're making sure all their information is up on our website again. We gave that out earlier, but people who are interested, we're working with United Ways of Texas because it's about 20 United Ways that were affected. So we're coordinating all those efforts. I know it might have been actually Katrina. It wasn't Sandy, but when Katrina hit, a lot of people were actually displaced to this region. So not only did we help with the region
and
you should probably talk a little bit about 211, mm-hmm. but folks that came here, we provided the opportunity for people to get the services that they need here locally. And we know that's a possibility again here with everything that's going on in Houston. But talk a little bit about 211. I think that's key for emergency services and some of the other work that we're doing.
So what we do on a regular basis, support emergency services. and with 211, sometimes we'll even open up a special fund as we did with Sandy and mm-hmm. right with Katrina, we might actually have to introduce new services to be able to absorb the impact. And when we're doing that, 211 is a really wonderful resource in the state of Pennsylvania. It's nationwide in the state of Pennsylvania. It's called Pennsylvania 211. It's a helpline. So it's not a 911. So call 911 if you're stranded, on your roof and you need the Coast Guard to come and get you. But you can call 211 if you're not quite sure what the assistance, where to turn for the thing it is that you need. So 211 will have, for example, the list of the food pantries or the list of the emergency shelters, and they'll be able to refer you. So we say helpline because they don't directly provide the service, but they know where all the services are. So in the Lehigh Valley, when you call the number, we have a partner in the Lehigh Valley continually updating the database, so it's always relevant. 211, you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's actually, I think it's over 50 languages that you're able to be translated through the translator service. I think about a third of the operators at our center used by the Lehigh Valley speak Spanish. So you're directly speaking to a live operator who speaks Spanish.
Oh,
so
terrific. I was hoping it wasn't one of those number systems.
Yep. And sometimes we use the translation service, but we do actually have Spanish speakers at the call center. Yeah.
Great. So if anybody is emergency, how would you define emergency that...
Mm-hmm. Honestly, an emergency could be I'm looking for affordable childcare for my son or daughter. And you could call 211 and they could actually give you a list of places that would give you, I'll say, grants, for lack of a better word, to your family to be able to, or scholarships, I guess, for your child to be able to go through affordable child care. That's an example. I mentioned food. I mentioned shelter. We have a lot of people call who cannot pay their rent. And so they call and they say, you know, I can't afford my rent. I'm not quite sure where to turn. And the operator will ask you a series of questions. And sometimes out of that, you'll get an unexpected response. So did you know that you could call LIHEAP, the Energy Assistance Program, and receive a discount on your utility bills or receive scholarships for your utility bills? And that's something the caller may not have known.
Correct.
That the 211 call center operators are skilled at knowing where to steer you.
Boy, that's a lot of information. Yep. I used to run a call center, so that's, wow, that's a lot of information to try and keep up to date and to work with. I've never heard of the 211. This is my thank you.
Yes.
As I said, I learn every time we do these shows, so this is terrific.
Well, yeah, and we have doubled the call volume since 2013 when we introduced 211 here in the Valley. So we had about 2,500 that first year that we had it in the Valley who called 211, uh-huh, and now we're up to 5,000 people calling a year.
Wow.
And we know there's 70,000 people that we serve through our services, so a lot more people could call the number. Yeah, so
that's incredible. That's okay, so we've talked about education, we've talked about food access, healthy aging, emergency services. Mark, I'm going to ask you after this short break to just sort of wrap up a little bit about impact and you know what it's been doing and where it's going. But we now have to take a short break. I'll be talking to my guests after the break, David Lewis, President, and Mark Riddle, Vice President of United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm Sally Hanlon, your host this evening, and I'm talking with David Lewis, President of the United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley, and Mark Riddle, who is Vice President of the United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley. If you were listening before this recent break, we were talking about the four areas of impact that the United Way is focused on currently based on an assessment of our community. And there are some early results, Mark, that you have been able to achieve already, correct?
Sure. Yes. At any point every year, I could probably mention a couple hot off the press items, and I'm happy to mention a couple today. You talked about accountability before, Sally, and I just wanted to, at the risk of getting too wonky, but I will mention how we do measure accountability with our programs that we support. It's something that is called results-based accountability. So results, based accountability. Mm-hmm. We know we can know based on results that you achieve, right? It's literally the phrase, the way that it said, results-based accountability. Three types of measures: quantity, quality, and then the results, or we can call the results a community measure. So quantity is what we always have measured in the past at United Way. How many people are you serving? So we've talked about the 70,000 people. We've talked about wrapping the stadium, in the Iron Pig Stadium, seven mm-hmm. times. Like, this is understanding the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that we would sort of collect, okay, so how many meetings have you held? How many programs do you have? How many kids do you serve? And that would be enough. So the quality is, tell us more about how it is that you're serving, you know, these people. And this is where we get into a longer discussion in food access about the nutritious quality of the food, right?
Okay.
Like literally
mm-hmm.
the quality of the food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the quality measure. And then we have the results measure. And that is, what difference did it make in your life? So what change happened, what transformation is happening in the community? So we do have a set of results measures that we like to track overall and then program by program. So hot off the press in food insecurity, we'll be talking very soon about even a bigger reduction than the 70,000. We just very recently learned that there are now 63,000 people who are food insecure in the Lehigh Valley, which is still 63,000 people, but a far cry from the 80,000 people that we talked about at the end of 2013, beginning of 2014.
So that's in 3 years.
Yeah,
that's
it's pretty real progress.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
And it's really important to say that this is not simply a United Way. Like, we identified the goal and there's rallying of the community and pulling together a valley-wide coalition. But then when you have those 40 or 50 partners that are part of the valley-wide coalition, it's because everybody is doing their part that you can start seeing change mm-hmm. in the community. And that can be true throughout all of the different coalitions in all of the four areas. In education, I mentioned a little bit kindergarten readiness, and that's one of the areas that we are very proud of in terms of we've seen more school districts start full day K. That's not something that we fund per se, but those are solutions that we know that we need, and mm-hmm. we're partners with the partners who are doing this. And we do have a measure for kindergarten readiness where you can track during the first month of school. There's a standard test that all kindergartners take across the state. And so for us, that's a nice common assessment across, you mm-hmm. know, all of our different schools. And mm-hmm. we know that in United Way schools, more students have been ready for kindergarten in the last 3 years since we announced the goal. That number has gone up each year. So it's gone up from 32% in 2014, the beginning of that school year, to most recently up to 38%. So, you know, you might think, you're like, well, that sounds like under 40%. That doesn't sound great necessarily, but we like to look at the change of the progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a low number, that tells me that we're in the right schools, right? We're in the schools that we've identified that probably need the most assistance. And so to see more kids in the schools that we support ready for kindergarten every single year is a big deal for us.
Okay, so in order for them to be ready to do this, that's your preschool programs that you're supporting mm-hmm. within this education
that's right,
program.
That's, right. That's okay. absolutely right. It means you have quality instruction at the preschools. It means that you are, you know, our preschools that we support are participate in the STARS program
okay.
in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a quality, it's that quality measure. How do you know it's a quality school? The state of Pennsylvania provides a quality assessment. So we participate with that if you're 3 or 4 stars out of 4. Yeah, so that leads to future success in school, which leads to ultimately, we hope, third grade reading, which leads to high school graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, terrific. Wow.
So I can go on.
Go,
I mean,
yeah, let's do at least one in each of them.
What we've seen with seniors is we've seen, thanks to the captive audience for Meals on Wheels, for example, we've actually seen thousands of seniors in the Lehigh Valley increase their nutrition, which means they're decreasing their chronic disease
right.
indicators, right.
right?
So if you're healthier, you live longer, and they're able to stay in place. Because also if you're not healthy, it means you might be leaving your home to go to more institutionalized care or even hospital
mm-hmm.
Situation of some kind. So we think that that's really good. Another thing that we support with seniors is prevention services. And so in the programs that we support, fall prevention is a big deal. And I'll just tell this really brief story. I was visiting my grandmother last weekend, and she said that she had to call 911 through one of those pagers, necklace pagers that you hold. She lives in senior apartment living, affordable apartment, but it's not assisted care. Couldn't get up off the ground and called 911, and that was the only provider that could, you know, her son was working, you know, my uncle like, couldn't come.
Couldn't get to the phone.
Right. Yeah. And so 911 came in and helped her up. Well, here's what was interesting is that she showed me on her her iPad the roster of 911 calls. So who has called 911 and why in the last day, 2 days? And the number of times that I saw fall victim astounded me. It was really amazing, fall victim. And so the fact that people are calling 911 over and over again about falls means that, first of all, from a United Way standpoint, it means that we can work together, right, with the emergency service providers, literally the EMS technicians, on what can we do to help seniors who are falling. But anyway, we have seen, in terms of a result, we've seen a decrease in the number of falls from programs that we support.
It's amazing where all you gather all this information from. I mean, that yes. research is just incredible to pull all those
Keeping
facts together.
Keeping your eye on data, yes. correct.
And then talk about big data. I know that's where you guys are. One of the things that I think many of our listeners are aware of, and there's been great PR about it over the years, is an United Way activity called Day of Caring.
Yes.
And that goes into all areas of the community. But talk a little bit about this one. I mean, how many companies do you get that allow their staff to take a day off to go and get involved? And how do you choose which organizations that they focus their time and energy on? And how does that work?
Yeah, well, they actually get to choose themselves. We we have 60 companies that participate in Day of Caring. It's about 1,000 volunteers, and we put all the opportunities up on a website. We work with a volunteer center. They do a great job, but rather than us trying to do the matching, some people like to do the outside work. I always see some of the PPL guys, some of our Days of Caring, you know, it's been 90 degrees outside and it's humid and they're out there weeding and doing yard work and they're just, you know, drenched with sweat. Others prefer something inside. Some prefer seniors, you know, children, whatever. So they get to choose their own, but it's pretty astonishing to see you know, nearly 1,000 people every year that come out and participate in Day of Caring. You know, we know just from, you know, asking our agencies the impact that it has, it saves our partners about $150,000 a year that they're able to get in volunteer hours. So it's really significant. And it's just another way, you know, Mark talked a little bit about it. It's not just about the dollars, but it's about convening and getting, you know, everyone working together. This is just another way that we're able to do that. And donors and volunteers, they love it. When you can see it firsthand, when you can dig in and be a part of it, it's extremely satisfying.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, they wear their shirts and the company shirts with the Day of Caring on it. And they're, you know, it's quite a morale booster, I think, within the company itself.
Yes, and then they wear them to the gym, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah,
so
you get to see
more
them all
publicity,
year.
Yes.
Right.
Let's have that go on. As I was doing research, one of the things I stumbled upon was that you have recently been recognized as a United Way recognized by the Center of Excellence. What does that mean? You are one of 40 United Ways out of 1,800 to get some recognition?
No, actually, we were one of three. We recently
Right.
Yeah, we had 40 United Ways here for some training that we put on as part of our recognition. So we were specifically recognized for our efforts in fundraising and workplace giving. You know, I always say to our team and to our board of directors, it's not just about, you know, that we're good fundraisers, but we're able to connect people with the things they care most about. So we're just able to communicate and be good stewards, you know, of folks' money. But when United Way Worldwide, and you mentioned the 1,800 worldwide, and there's 1,100 just in the States, they started looking at results. We had some of the best results over the last 4 years. So they wanted to talk about, for the whole network, what's the secret sauce that's going on here in Allentown, Bethlehem East, and in the Lehigh Valley that's working so well? Mm-hmm. So it was a huge honor. Again, there's only been three, I think, in the last half dozen years that have been recognized for a Center of Excellence. It was a pretty big deal, and it was very humbling. But what we found when we dug in a little bit, it's just really about this area. It's about our donors. It's about our network of volunteers that are able to provide the support that we need.
Wow. That's incredible. I remember I talked to someone, I guess, shortly before these other 40 were coming in, and it was like everybody was trying to make sure that they had everything on cue so that you could properly share exactly what you have been doing. So
yeah, it was a big lift in the midst of our 100th anniversary.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot going on.
The campaign, yeah, there was a few things going on the last couple weeks, but it was really an honor. And, you know, we're happy to share with the network, and we're so proud of our community and the fundraising results that we've had. And it's because donors trust us. I mean, Mark just, you know, spent, you know, talking about results. I mean,
right.
That's why do people give to United Way? Because they trust us, because they know they're getting results. You know, back in the day, people thought about charity a lot.
Right.
And now I hear more than anything about the word investment. You know, so people are really looking at this as an investment, and they want a return on their investment. And we're able to do that. And that's why our giving has increased.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's wonderful. Now, what is the Common Good Award, Mark?
So before we were named a Center of Excellence, over the last, 5 years, we've received two different awards from United Way Worldwide. And the Common Good Award is an award that is given out every year for impact work.
Okay.
Out of the 1,800 United Ways, and we've received two of them. So one of them was in our aging work. So we started our Lehigh Valley coalition called the Alliance on Aging, I'm going to say 20 years ago. And so we were on the forefront of this impact work of how do you come across a community solution before many other United Ways were. And I will say that not too many United Ways even have an aging coalition that they coordinate inside of the Lehigh Valley. So we were recognized for that work as getting more and more seniors the support that they need to be able to stay in their homes. That's one. And the other was for the community schools work in education, as you mentioned, again, by building a Lehigh Valley-wide coalition, by having successful practices of linking student data to the interventions that are required inside of a school. And because we came up with that system and had all community partners sort of, you know, beating to the same drum or marching in the same line. We were recognized for that work as well. So that's called the Common Good Award.
Wow, this is a big year. Congratulations.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Lots of fronts here. So what are you doing to celebrate? What's happening in this 100th year and with all this recognition?
Well, thank you for asking.
You're waiting for that, right?
I was waiting for that one. Well, we're having a series of events. I mean, I mentioned earlier we have, you know, 600 companies involved. We have 18,000 donors involved, and we just want to say thank you. So really, to kick off this campaign, we're so lucky to have Bill and Denise Spence. Bill is the chairman of PPL. He's chairing this year's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very lucky. I mean, PPL has been great supporters. And we're going to kick off the campaign with a gala. You may have heard that we're having a gala on September 16th. That's actually why we moved up our Day of Caring earlier this year, so that we could have the gala. And Dan and Lucinda McCarthy are chairing the actual event.
Okay.
We expect between 500 and 600 people there. And, you know, the purpose of that is to just keep people focused on our mission, to let them know what a big year this is, but also just to say thanks. I mean, we're about having impact 365 days a year, 24/7, as they say, but we just want to take a moment and say thank you for the generosity of so many people. And with the help of Martin Guitar, we were able to bring in a pretty big name. A lot of people know Vince Gill. Some people, I'm surprised, don't. He's won.
That surprises me too.
He's won 20 Grammy Awards, and he's been here in the Valley. I think he's performed at the State Theater a few times, but with the help of Martin Guitar, we have him. So we think it's going to be a special evening, but it's just about saying thank you and recognizing and honoring what we've done in the past with an eye of, you know, looking towards the future and what the next 100 years will bring. And, you know, as we talked a little bit about, you know, our constant assessing of community needs, we know will be relevant because we do that constant assessing of what's needed most here in the Valley.
Okay. And anything else going on during this 100th anniversary year?
Well, we'll have, again, I mentioned a series of events, probably too long to list, but the other big one, the 100th day is April 18th, 2018 will be to the day 100 years from when the Bethlehem War Chest was started.
Okay.
So that will be our celebration of caring. So if folks can't make the event in September,
April.
Can make the one in April. Okay. And it'll be a great celebration as well.
Now, I assume, and I don't want to do that, so will these events be on your website if people want to go and see what else is going on this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the calendar is pretty full. Yes,
yes.
It absolutely is on the website and more and more coming every day.
Okay. On our website, and you said the address earlier, unitedwayglv.org. Mm-hmm. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Okay, so there's multiple ways that people mm-hmm. can find out what you're doing, where it's happening, and what's going on. Now, you had mentioned, Dave, that we are looking at the next 100 years, but theoretically, that's a long time to sort of forecast for. Over the next 3 to 5, what do you see happening with United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley?
Well, for one thing, what we're going to try to avoid is, you know, the flavor of the month and constantly changing. I mean, we know the needs because we've done the assessment. We know the 211 calls that we're getting, and we know the needs that we identified in the four areas, older adults, food access, education, and emergency services. Those needs are not going to go away. We're making progress every year, but for the immediate 3 to 4 years, we're going to stay focused on those areas. So our goals are actually set up into 2022.
Okay.
So we are going to stay focused on those areas till 2022. The exact strategies, we're always tweaking. We're always looking for new partners. Exactly how we do it changes a little bit, but in terms of big picture, they're going to remain our focus for the next 4 years until 2022.
Is there any potential that your territory might expand? You have Carbon now as a part of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Is that anything that's in the horizon?
We're always looking at ways to partner, even if it's, you know, back office, IT. I mean, I talk pretty regularly with the folks in Monroe County and Bucks County, for instance. I talk to Berks County a lot, but we're always looking at ways, how can we work together more efficiently with Carbon? It just was actually a merger. I mean, it was merged with us. I don't know that that's going to be the case in any of those other communities, but we certainly are looking at how we can work more efficiently and effectively together.
Well, it sounds like there's a pretty strong network of, like, executive directors, presidents that speak on a relative basis because of emergencies or whatever. So there's a good connection there with other locations.
That's right. There's a great network, and we're always constantly emailing, texting, whatever, calling each other. I think it's a great balance for us. Every United Way is different. Every region is different. What we need here is not the same as what people necessarily need in Philadelphia, but we're able to share best practices and again, just network together and share resources, but also keep the local focus. So for me, I think it's the best of both worlds.
Okay. Well, we just have a few seconds more in this program. Is there anything you would like to make sure our listeners are aware of or remember from tonight's program?
More than anything, the thought that comes to mind is just thank you. We've received
Absolutely.
Great support from this community, and we couldn't do it without the support of our donors, so thank you.
And I would like to thank my guests for being here tonight and thank my listeners for being a part of this program tonight. Dave Lewis, President, and Mark Riddle, Vice President of United Way of Greater Lehigh Valley, thank you both for taking the time to share with our listeners what's happening and the celebrations and the recognition of our United Way.
Thank you, Sally.
Our pleasure.
Okay. We'll look forward to another anniversary and talking again. This wraps up tonight's Lehigh Valley Discourse. Thanks for joining us.